out more about how the unsteady housing market is affecting individuals as well as the overall economy, we visited Stephen Levy. He's the director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. KALW's Ben Trefney sat down with Stephen Levy in his Palo Alto offices.
Stephen Levy, thanks so much for joining us.
Nice to be with you.
Now, home sales have declined over 10% nationally in the fourth quarter last year compared with the year before. Home prices are slipping around the country. There's twice as many California homeowners who are defaulting on mortgage payments as they did a year ago. What's going on with the housing market?
During the past 3 years, a fairly substantial number of people bought homes that were above their ability to finance. They were buying them on the anticipation that prices would go up. Now that prices have leveled off and in some neighborhoods around the region have fallen, some of those buyers have negative equity. Some of those buyers are facing higher mortgage rates as their adjustable rate mortgages adjust upwards, and some of them are under great pressure.
For some of the people who maybe really took out the more risky kinds of loans, such as zero down payment and paying large mortgages, huge percentages of their salaries, people who are taking out adjustable rate mortgages that are really high, or maybe neg-am mortgages, then what's this mean for them?
There'll probably be a small number of people who have to sell their home at a loss, who may have some of their savings wiped out. That's balanced against the question you have to ask, what were they doing buying very expensive homes that they probably knew they couldn't afford? They were playing the house market like people play the stock market or Las Vegas. And when the prices stopped going up, some people got caught. It's hard to know how many of them to feel really sorry for.
When is the last time that this kind of a market correction, this kind of situation for home buyers happened?
It was actually much more severe in the very early 1990s. The speculative surge in 1988 and 89 was much larger than it was this time, and the price correction was larger, so there were actually more people put at risk in the state, particularly in Southern California, where you had the aerospace downturn. So far, the foreclosures are up, but they're nowhere near as high as they were in the early 1990s.
We're at an early stage right now. I mean, these foreclosures are on their way up pretty steadily, it seems. Where do you see this going at the moment?
I think prices still have a bit further to correct. So if people have to sell, or if they have mortgages where the interest payments have gone up beyond their ability, there's still going to be people for the next year or so who may lose their savings, lose their home, and lose money. On the other hand, you have to see it as somewhat of a good thing for the regional economy. We're poised to make some fairly substantial gains, and the only really barrier standing between the Bay Area and fairly substantial prosperity is the fact that ordinary people can't buy a home to live here and take the good jobs. And so some correction in home prices, painful as it is probably good for the economy as a whole.
Good for the economy as a whole. I can see where you're going with that. However, does this situation tend to broaden the wealth gap in the state or in the country, in your opinion?
I don't think so. Very low-income folks, or even moderately low-income folks, haven't been able to afford a house in a long time. I think it's a mischaracterization to think that low-income people are put at risk. They were not going to be able to afford a $400,000 or $500,000 house. These are basically middle income or even upper middle income families that bought over their income. The housing situation for low income families is much, much, much more serious, so serious that they weren't in this market. That's a perennial problem in the society, and it turns us into really folks who own homes who have mixed motives about the region building more homes and more affordable homes. And that is that's a problem, because people that have homes have a interest in seeing the prices go up, and people that don't have homes have an interest in seeing more affordable units come online so they can get into the home ownership market.
This is KALW News. We're talking with Stephen Levies, director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. There are a lot of regional government programs to try to get low-income earners into homes so that they could start that kind of investment and maybe get a leg up. Do you see enough being done to help people get that leg up and into the market?
It's almost an impossible problem to solve. There are so many people now in the expensive coastal regions like Los Angeles or San Diego or the Bay Area, so many people for whom ownership housing is so far above them that it's not really realistic to think that we can subsidize all of those people into $500,000 homes. The two solutions that economists come to really have to do with increasing the supply of homes and making sure that when we do that, we're providing for apartments and, to the extent possible, lower or moderate income homes. But that's very difficult. That really implies density and a concerted effort. No, there's not being enough supply put on the market of any kind of units for low-income folks because it's not profitable. On the other hand, there are too many to handle it by subsidies. It's an almost impossible situation.
If it's almost impossible, then what do you think the small possibilities might be to rectify that?
Oh, I think communities like San Francisco and San Jose and other communities have taken a much more proactive and aggressive stance about allowing denser developments and about trying to create incentives so that developers need to include some below market rate rents in those homes. I think the main response has to be on the supply side, and then the interesting and painful fight is between the social justice communities and the environmental or the NIMBY communities, where you almost always have a fight, which is very disturbing to me, over attempts to provide diverse housing and that has a low income mix is often opposed by people on grounds that are difficult for me to understand, but those battles need to be won.
So do you mean as far as providing dense housing and maybe providing more low-income housing that people in some of these communities are not interested in bringing that in, perhaps because of trying to maintain their property values or maintain their quality of life in those areas?
Right. I think there's an ongoing struggle in all of the coastal regions of California, and it's not even primarily about lower-income folks. I'll give you the example in Palo Alto. People here fought for 5 years and went to a referendum, finally, about allowing 60 condominiums to be built in downtown Palo Alto, two blocks from the train station, not near anything, and they're all sold eventually for over $1 million. And so it was really not about lower income folks. It was just about housing and dense housing per se. And there's some people that don't understand the link between providing housing and being able to run a regional economy that needs people at all skill and income levels. And so that is pervasive every place, whether it's mean-spirited in terms of preserving property values or whether it has some quasi-environmental basis where people just wish folks would leave California and leave them alone. But it's very damaging both to the economy overall, where we need to be able to hire people, and in a social justice context to folks who are excluded from the market by income.
You're listening to KALW News. Today we're talking with Stephen Levy. He's director of the Center for Continuing Study of the California Economy. I'd like to turn the conversation to communities of color and how the changing housing market is affecting them. A recent report released by the Harvard University Joint Center for Housing Studies found that approximately 17% of white homebuyers took out subprime loans last year, while half of black homebuyers took out subprimes. Why is that happening? I mean, obviously, when one takes out a subprime loan and is really playing a game of chance with the changing interest rate market, why is this happening more in black communities than white?
Often, the issues, as you said, of color are primarily issues of income. So in California, it's certainly true that African American and Latino communities have lower incomes, and lower income folks are often not able to get the same kind of interest rate offers that higher income folks are. I don't think it's basically a discrimination issue. It's that minority ethnic groups, at least African American and Latinos, tend now to have lower incomes. On the other hand, there are two kind of fairly optimistic points going on. First of all, 8 or 9 of the top 10 names for home purchasers in California are Latino, and the rest of them are Asian. And the market is adapting to the fact that if you're not offering a product in terms that are of interest to these large immigrant communities, you aren't going to be selling much of anything in California. And banks like Wells Fargo Bank on mortgages and Bank of America, which just put out a new initiative on credit cards, are really understanding that there's a strong business purpose in reaching out to minority communities. I think the Bank of America person said, if we don't have an aggressive, workable Latino marketing strategy, we don't have a growth strategy in California. So
you're talking about the Bank of America credit card initiative, where one will not need documentation in order to get a credit card.
Right. I think there's some positive signs there, but ultimately, much of this will depend on having the education and training and workforce training opportunities so that people who start out with low income and low educational attainment have a chance to get good jobs, and then they'll qualify for loans.
At this point, a lot of the housing prices have risen dramatically, really, over the last 5-10 years in some of these coastal cities, as you mentioned. And it seems to be that in San Francisco, for example, some of the communities of color, such as, say, Bayview, Hunters Point, a lot of these people are moving out. The black community in San Francisco is moving away because the cost of housing is so high. And you mentioned how there are efforts being made to try to keep some of these communities and communities of color in place, but really there seems to be some sort of an exodus going on. Do you think that the prices are so high at this point that really only the haves are going to be able to live in these communities, and people who don't have the same kind of income at this point or wealth are going to have to move out to have longer commutes, to move out to more of the farther away bedroom communities around California?
I think that's probably true. If you look at East Palo Alto, which is the community I know, it's probably true in Bayview. What's going on is that the strong locational value of those communities is finally prevailing over their long history as low-income communities. And so you have a mixed bag. In East Palo Alto, you have people, it was originally a strong African-American community. It's been African-American and Latino for a number of years. You have people who owned homes who are now able to sell out and make $200,000 or $300,000 or $400,000. On the other hand, that community is now only affordable to people who can pay that for housing. In terms of the broader region, it's a sign of success for these communities, but there's no way around it. It's very hard to be poor and find your way in these fairly affluent communities. And so the options, which are, you know, not what we want, are kind of doubling up, having more people in a unit to share the rent, or moving out. And so the only way San Francisco would be open to a lot more low-income people is if the economy tanked and overall housing values went down. But I don't think that's going to happen. And that's a funny way to get a social justice objective. It's just hard in thriving communities in prosperous regions to solve the housing riddle in California.
What do you see as the biggest challenge that the people of the state of California face right now?
I think the main challenge is to see the fate of people in the middle class, in the lower middle class, connected. I think the most difficult problem that people have is either they think that the only thing the Bay Area economy is about is getting rocket scientists or internet specialists to staff eBay and Google and HP and NASA, and they forget that it takes a region to support these companies. It takes people who are driving trucks and working in construction and repairing all of this incredible complicated stuff. Auto repair now is a computer tech operation, and we don't pay a lot of attention to that. On the other hand, they would create a lot of middle class jobs. We tend to think of the region of really lower income folks, and a lot of social justice hearts go out to that, or rocket scientists, but it still turns out that 60% of the people are in the middle and no one much is thinking about them. They become invisible. I think we need to build coalitions of common interest.
Stephen Levy, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you.